So the prophet lied. For no apparent reason, the old prophet lied to the man of God, who was also a prophet. Are you ready for our chat? Let's talk about it. Let's find out from this story that was purposely left by God, inspired for us to learn more about the character of God and to learn more about ourselves. When God says something, that is the truth. Hello, friend. Welcome to A Place for Joy. Thank you for joining me once again. May our chat today be inspiring, encouraging, enlightening to you. I am grateful for you. And if you are new and stopping by, welcome to a group of friends where we study the Bible. I always say the Bible is the number one best-selling book in the world, and it is. It's also the number one most stolen book in the world, but it is the most interesting book in the world. May we delve into it deeply to get to know the messages and who it's really about. I pray for you, my friend, and me to have a close intimacy so that nothing takes us away from the truth of the word. Today, our story is coming from Kings, and it is coming from 1 Kings chapter 13. It is an interesting story, and I'm going to ad lib. It's beautiful outside, the wind is nice, and I don't want to be cooped up in air conditioning on the inside. So bear with me, and the only noises you should be hearing are birds. There is so much going on in every story in the Bible, so I'm going to skip around with your permission. I also have a pesky fly that's trying to be a guest. He's not invited, he's not a DNA cousin. At the Lord's command, a man of God from Judah went to Bethel, arriving there just as Jeroboam, now you have to read the backstory, please do that, was approaching the altar to burn incense. And this is a king that has been rebellious. And this man of God prophesied, and he speaks to the altar exactly what God says. And in speaking to the altar, he says something that God told him that goes against this king, basically telling him that the kingdom has been taken away from him and that a child will be born that will rule and that this altar is about to split apart and burn down to ashes. So he gives this man a sentencing, a judgment. The man being the king Jeroboam, he didn't like it. And to show how rebellious his heart was, how hardened his heart was, he tells them to seize the prophet. He should know better, but no respect for God. When he says that, he reaches out his hand and he says, seize the prophet. And his hand is stuck in the position when he says this. And when his hands freeze in that position of this, he cannot pull his hand back. Can you imagine? Can you even imagine? I told you the Bible got stories for days. He can't pull his hand back. He had the nerves or the gall to try to attack a messenger of God bringing God's word and judgment. No repentance on Jeroboam's side. And then when his hand freezes in that position and he can't pull it back, who does he appeal to? He appeals to the man of God. At the meantime, the altar begins to crack, like this prophet says, which should be scary enough, and ashes begin to pour out, just as the man of God has predicted. And then he cries out to the man of God, and he says, please ask the Lord your God to restore my hand again. Can you imagine? But guess what happens? So the man of God prayed to the Lord, and the king's hand was restored. We could stay there, because talk about the heart of God. When he recognized that he was messing with God and he asked, God could have said, no, I'll do your other hand like that. But look at this God that we serve. Instead, his hand is restored. It doesn't say he repented. He was concerned about his hand. It didn't say that. He said, cry out to the Lord, my God, to forgive me for my wicked heart. He just wanted his hand restored, and it happened. But look at the authority of this man carrying the word. So then he goes and he does what we tend to do. He's like, he goes into this deceptive mode, and he tells this man, well, come to me to the palace. This is Jeroboam. I'll call him the hard-hearted king. He says, come to me to the palace. His hand is now restored. And he said, come and have something to eat, and I'll give you a gift. He's trying to buy the graces or the goodness of God and get him on his side. But you and I both know that he's probably trying to kill this prophet because something's up. We both know it. We just don't have the music in the background, you know, when something's about to happen. But he's talking to a man of God. So the man of God says to him, even if you give me half of everything you own, I would not go with you. I would not eat or drink anything in your palace. For the Lord gave me this command. You must not eat or drink anything while you are there. And do not return to Judah by the same way you come. So already he's been warned by God. The Lord is God. So basically we can infer that this king was either trying to poison him, to bribe him, or to plot against his life. That's why I'm thinking now, stand to be corrected, that God told him, don't return the same way, because this man's trying to kill you. He's still trying to make something happen. It's already been told to him that the kingdom's going to be taken from him. And instead of coming under the lordship of God, I think he thinks that if I can attack this prophet, then somehow I can change my destiny. You know, what do you think? But something was up, so God warns him. We have a saying that I know isn't true, and I don't think the Bible supports it, that if God doesn't want something to happen, it won't happen. I don't believe that at all. I believe that we don't understand how much choice through the gift of free will we really have. I think when we're warned through a dream, through discernment, through history, through people, I think we should pray about it and not think about it casually. I think when God gave that message to the prophet, he should have prayed. I think, this is me thinking, think with me, and say, God, please help me, because maybe there's some weaknesses. Help me not to eat or drink and go by the same way, or deal with me when it comes to obedience, because we know our different bents. So help me against deception, because, or Lord, why did you say this? Could he have done that? I believe so. We see a different aspect of God's nature in the Old Testament a lot of times, and we think it's just this fiery judge. But if we really read and look through, I'm always surprised at how I constantly see the same God in the Old Testament, his tenderness, his compassion, his mercy, and the fact that you can talk with him. I think David showed us that a lot, but so did other people in the Old Testament, having dealings with God, speaking to him, Abraham talking to him, bargaining for the people, Moses interceding for the people of Israel who were just so rebellious and hard to deal with, so like us. that you could have this ongoing conversation with him. And he wasn't like, I'm God. No, you could have a conversation. I think that that's a good lesson for us to say that if I'm warned about something specific like that, that I can say, Lord, help me to follow you and obey you, especially if you deal with, and I'm talking to myself, with rebelliousness. And sometimes it's not on purpose. It's more like, I think it's better to do it my way, or maybe this way works, or this way is easier. It's probably easier going back this way. But he wanted to obey. And then what happens? Because we're constantly in this struggle as we dwell in this world. It's never just an easy pass. And if it is an easy pass, it is for a season. So look at this. This man of God has spoken. The ashes have come out of the altar. A man's hand has been frozen. He speaks what God has told him. And then what happens? As he starts to go back to his home another way, following what God said, here's what comes. But listen to what the Bible says. As it happened, there was an old prophet living in Bethel, and his sons came home and told him about the man of God and what had happened that day. They also told their father what the man had said to the king. The old prophet asked them, which way did he go? So they showed their father which road the man of God had taken. So people are always watching you. They heard what he said. And here are sons of an old prophet observing him. Someone's always watching your story. Side note. So he tells them to saddle his donkey for him, and he mounts it and he goes. He rode, and then he found the man of God sitting under a tree. And the old prophet said, are you the man of God that came from Judah? So that's interesting, because this prophet should have known, you know, kindred spirit. That's kind of a clue. That's interesting. And he says, yes, I am, he replied. Then he said to the man of God, come home with me and eat some food. No, I cannot, he replied. I am not allowed to eat or drink anything here in this place, for the Lord gave me this command. You must not eat or drink anything while you are there, and do not return to Judah by the way you came. Let's stop. We can listen to the birds in the background. Let's think. What do you think happened next? Let's not say if God didn't want it to happen. God has made explicitly what he wanted. Now here comes human will and human choice. Here comes God's truth, and here comes someone who has the title of a prophet, who looks like him, speaks his language, seems harmless, and here he comes with his agenda. The Bible said, as it happened. We can stop right here, my friend. That's every single day in our lives. If this old prophet had dressed up like the king, he wouldn't have followed him. If he had come dressed like a donkey, and you know the donkey talked, he wouldn't have followed him. If he had come dressed like how we have the Halloween costumes for the devil, he wouldn't have followed him. He came familiar. He came with a title. He came speaking the same language. He came with deception. He tells this man, it sounds good, it seems good. He tells him this. He tells the prophet, The old prophet tells the man of God, I am a prophet too. Scary. I am a prophet too, just as you are. And an angel gave me this command from the Lord. Let's stop. Stop. The Bible tells us that if an angel from heaven comes and gives us a gospel other than the gospel we've been given, it's accursed. I don't care if he's blazing in fire and he looks a certain way, it is accursed. A lot of religions and cults have said that their revelation came from an angel. And we know in the Bible that Satan is referred to as the angel of light. If it is against the word of God, it is not true. If it sounds close, but there's something that has been added or taken away, or twisted, it is deceptive. And praying for the spirit of discernment is not the first time, friends, you've heard me say it, is something that we have to pray for one another. This was a prophet. This was a prophet. He probably had on the right garments. But he brings a word that is different, that is contrary, that is opposite to what God says. He brings a new revelation that looks like God could have said it. But does God contradict himself? Is he confused? Is it his character to do something like this when he has expressly spoken to this man of God? Let's park here, because I think that's important for each of us, that even if it feels good, even if it comes from a friend, if the Lord has expressly said something to your heart, don't go around it. And you will notice that every time we do that, there's some form of regret, because we end up saying, something told me I shouldn't have done that. I heard a Christian comedian say that he thinks God's name is something. We constantly say, something told me I shouldn't have. It is easier for us to be convinced or to believe that which is familiar. I learned that from listening to one of the podcast episodes with a former CIA spy. And he said that's an easy way, because we tend to be more comfortable and more relaxed, and we let our guard down when someone looks like us, acts like us, talks like us, smells like us, dresses like us. We're much more relaxed. Think about it. Think about culture. If someone comes around you that is different from you, you become almost immediately, guards go up where you're more suspect. And even though they might be the nicest person in the world, you're kind of more suspicious about people who don't look like you or don't exactly talk like you. The more familiar a person is, the more comfortable you are, the more your guard is down. I learned that from a CIA spy, and it's interesting because he was saying a lot of their operatives are not people we expect. So this prophet, this old prophet, for some reason decides to lie. Now, you can come up with any reason you can think about. It doesn't say why. It doesn't say if he was influenced by the enemy. We can put it on the enemy, but he was definitely being deceptive. So we can ask the question, why? Why did he do that? Why did he get up, leave where he was, to go to this man who had accomplished what God sent him to do. Why did he derail this prophet's destiny or life? Because it ended up costing this man of God. It cost his life because he listened to an old prophet and trusted his revelation more than the revelation or the express word that God had told him. So he tells him that, and the prophet goes with him. He brings him home. He eats and he drinks. He was not supposed to do that, even with the prophet. And the old man, and the Bible says it this way, but the old man was lying to him. So they went back together, and the man of God ate and drank at the prophet's house. Not a prostitute's house, the prophet's house. Then while they were sitting at the table, a command from the Lord came to the old prophet. Does God speak to lying prophets and speak through people? God can speak through anyone. He can speak through anyone. But his word is consistent. His word does not contradict itself. Remember, he spoke through the donkey. His word is truth. He doesn't change. So the word now comes. He doesn't speak to the man of God. He had spoken to him. He had told him. He talks to this man that the Bible just got through said was lying. He talks to this prophet and he says to the man of God, and this time this is what the Lord says, you have defied the word of the Lord and have disobeyed the command the Lord your God gave you. You came back to the place and ate and drank where he told you not to eat or drink. Because of this, your body will not be buried in the grave of your ancestors. And this man didn't take off running. He didn't say anything. It says, after the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the old man saddled his donkey for him. This was a crazy old prophet. He didn't say, let's pray. He didn't say, let's ask God's forgiveness. He saddles his donkey. And the man of God started off again. And I don't know what he was thinking. I have no idea. But as he was traveling along, a lion came out and killed him. And his body laid there on the road. There's more to the story. Because that same crazy old prophet sends his sons later on to get this man's body and says to bury him. And he said he would be buried with this prophet. But you get the gist of the story. We need to take the word of God seriously, and I'm now speaking to myself. We need to know it. We need to study it for ourselves, and we need to know the character of God, and we need to be able to question messengers and circumstances and situations, but trust the word of God. And even if our best friend, culture, leaders, pastors, next door neighbors, or people we trust in the word, when they say something contrary, anyone or anything or any dream or apparition that goes against the word of God, we need to choose the word and not believe that somehow God got confused and that he's going to give us an additional or different message than the good news of the gospel or the warnings and the wisdom and the teachings of life that he has shared with us. So important. So very important. My friend, I hope you're doing really well. I hope you go back and check out that story in Kings, because there's more to the story. I kind of ended it. Something to think about during the week. Let's continue to pray for one another. Let's really pray for God to give us a spirit of intimacy, a spirit of discernment, knowledge of Him. And may the Holy Spirit help us all and draw us closer to the heart of our Father. I appreciate you so much. Hope to be able to interact and see you soon. God's peace to you, my friend. Thank you.